Welcome to Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast about anything and everything. This is RG at RG Flores on Twitter.
This is Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter.
So going, Joe. So got one good one today, this week, actually. Have you ever heard of things called proverbs and idioms?
Idioms I have not used or seen or read so many times in one day, like I have today.
It's funny, we talked about this while we were researching this. It's funny, I'm like, wow, I never realized how much of our conversations and day-to-day life consists of proverbs and idioms.
Yeah, everything we talk about, conversation.
The way it's just, it's a simple way to describe a feeling, and since it's well known, a lot of these idioms and proverbs, it's easy to just say them, because once you say them, everybody's like, oh, I get what you're saying.
Yep.
So that made me start thinking, I'm like, you know what, I think it'd be cool to go through some, because there's a ton of like proverbs and idioms that we think are cool, maybe go a little bit into it. A little story behind each one and kind of like origins or anything about interesting about some of the ones, because there's tons of them, so we only picked just a few. It's like an iceberg, top of the iceberg.
To take it to the next step, though, even to simplify things, mm-hmm. as simple as we can, which mm-hmm. This was a deep dive. It's kind of a corny one, and I thought I had nothing on this one, and everything is at the go, is at the ready, like so many things are out there. So honestly, in a nutshell, is what old phrases, old sayings,
old
that have meaning that might have lost meaning.
Yeah, because I was funny in doing the research, and it shows how how do I say this? They're so ingrained, and some of these are like we've been saying for so long, and someone. Research that I've done is don't have any meaning.
A lot of them have been lost.
I've been lost because a lot of what I found was like, I don't know. And some of these, too, are a podcast by themselves. Like, there was one where I'm like, this is a ton of stuff just for one.
Yeah.
And so some of these are cool stories, and I think we're going to hold off on some to kind of do a whole podcast just on one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they have like a whole story behind them.
If this is a throwaway episode, this is like the brainstorming episode where it's like, you guys are going to understand where it's going to come back around later on for us on separate podcasts.
Yeah. We pick some of the maybe ones that are kind of a little bit cool, quick story just so we can get through as much as we can. But we have a lot. And also realize how much, because we're both sports fans.
Huge sports,
And I'm like, man, I also realize how, especially in sports, how big.
Phrases, sayings, quotes,
idioms are, because you're like I know these are baseball related or football, whatever, mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, like nobody ever says anything. Everyone, and especially in that culture and sport culture, like interviews are pretty much just all proverbs, idioms. That's it. And
kind of
consistent.
Did you go the sport route?
One or two, I think I did, just because I heard it a lot in sports announcers saying, and I know what it means, but. And like, why would they call it that? I know what they're trying to describe by it, but why? And it's kind of cool because it kind of described it, and I get it now.
I think you went down a different route than I did, mm-hmm. but this is going to be an interesting mm-hmm. dive and rabbit hole for us, because the initial plan was for us to each bring over, I guess, again, old phrases and sayings that have been used, and like, what is the origin of this?
Yeah. And it's funny because one, I don't know if you have it on the whole dime a dozen.
Okay.
Well, because our executive producer.
She had a huge part of this.
Yeah.
So. And we are older. We are older than her. I mean, she's 21. What, we're 37, 38?
Yeah.
Mid-30s. And
mid-30s.
She asked a bunch of them, like, okay, we're going to jump into hers too.
Are we going to answer hers on her list?
You know what? Yeah, I told her to mark a star by each one she needed to ask us. Like, I've heard this saying before, but what the fuck does it mean?
Okay, cool. Yeah, she
and
gave me her list.
I'm sure ask it like that, but like, she's like,
what the fuck does that mean?
What did you say?
I don't talk like that.
What did you say? Okay, but that's pretty much what it is. No.
Oh, okay.
Even in saying that, should we let the listeners know that this one might be our first.
Yeah, we're thinking since we have a bunch, and it's funny, like I said, we haven't even tip of the iceberg, which is another one. What the fuck? We're talking about oceans and fucking Titanic.
Oh, we're going to hit everything.
Using idiom, but tip of the iceberg, we figured to be fair, we're probably more likely going to do a couple, and then we're going to split up and have a second two-parter.
This is going
to
be our first two-parter episode.
And that way we get it done, and we can, because I didn't want all these, I'm like, we did all this research, might as well you know.
Yeah.
Get it to that. And it's cool because we're going to make sure they're split. So even you can listen to both and you're not, you know, you can listen to them. They'll be sound separate episodes.
Yeah. And by the end of both, if you guys listen to both, it'll be like, okay, I get it. And you know what? Even if we're missing something, there are a grip out there in the world.
Yeah. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to go back to this and we're going to do some of these deeper dives.
Oh, yeah. Each one deserves its
own. But it's just fun to get everyone thinking and maybe get some people to get us some ideas, some stuff maybe I've heard of, or maybe they know stories that we haven't heard.
I got to be honest, dude. I didn't get upset when you brought it to me. I'm just like, I have fucking nothing. And then once I started deep diving, I'm like, holy shit, I got I got so much on the go in the in the barrel. I like so much ammunition I have. All right, man. So we're going to rock and roll the way we normally do, or are we going to mix it up this time?
We'll go back and forth and just see if and if we have any of each other's on each other's list.
We're going to scratch it off. Okay, man, you go first then.
All right. So first one, I think we've even talked about this before. It's called When Somebody Tells You, Cut to the Chase.
Yeah, cut the bullshit. Like, what?
I mean, it means
stop buttering me up.
Yeah, so
that's another one.
I'm not a roll, so stop buttering me up.
Yeah, for exactly.
Right? So this one, it's funny because when I read it, I'm like, it means exactly what I thought it meant.
And it's going to be, we're going to give our point of view, and then we're going to actually dive into some origin.
And this is one of those, I'm like, it kind of like, I think, Joe, we've talked about this before because it has to do with actually Hollywood. The scene originated from early film studios, silent films.
Okay.
It was a favorite of a favorite of and thought to be coined by Hal Roach Sr.
Okay.
So a little bit of history here, quick one. Films, particularly comedies, often climax in chase scenes. Some inexperienced screenwriters or directors would pad the film with unnecessary dialogue, which bored the audience and prolonged the time before the exciting chase scene. Cut to the chase was a phrase used by movie studio executives to mean that the audience shouldn't get bored by the extra dialogue and that the film should get to interesting scenes without unnecessary delays.
True.
The phrase is now widely used that means get to the point. So Hollywood's pretty much like, people are bored. Let's get to the good stuff. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I did not know that.
So I always kind of like deal with Hollywood because it's like, it's cut to the good part. None of this fucking, nobody wants to hear people talk. Get to the sexy time.
I like how deep you went on that one. Yeah. Okay, cool. My first one is going to be like more phrases that aren't common that I just like in general. My first one is going to be dressed to the nines. Do you know what dressed to the nines means?
It doesn't mean like fancy or dressed super fancy or like top notch. I don't know.
That's pretty much what it is. So maybe we're
dressed to the tens.
We're going to throw each other off, dude.
We're dressed to the 20s.
And it's pretty much, dressed to kill fucking time.
Okay.
So to the nine is an English idiom, meaning, and see, we're going to talk about idioms a lot, dude, meaning to perfection or to the highest degree or to dress buoyantly and high class. In modern English usage, the phrase that most commonly appears as dressed to the nine or dressed up to the nine. Still, another clothing origin suggests that the phrase descends from the Old English saying dressed to the eyes, which because of Old English or Old English in general is weird, was written as dressed to the ein. The thinking goes that someone at some point heard then ein and mistook it for the nine.
You know what it was? Probably an American.
Of course.
They're like, the I was in Britain, like, I was dressed nine, like, dressed to the nine. Ein. Like, oh, thanks. I don't know why I didn't get a 10, but close enough. I'll take a nine.
Yeah, I'll take a nines. All right, man. So interesting. All right, go for it.
Yeah. Okay, you got another one. When you're joking, usually here's when you're joking around with somebody or you're trying to fool somebody and they don't trust what you're saying or they don't believe you.
Okay.
They say, you must be pulling my leg.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Yeah. So it just means like if you're trying to tell somebody, like, you're pulling my leg.
And everyone knows and has heard of these.
No, I'm not touching your leg. No, guy, you don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah. It's an idiom. You don't understand.
No, guys, we are legit going to break down origins of
these. Yeah, because I want you to, that'd be cool, because when somebody goes, hey, blah, 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 hey, Steve, you're pulling my leg. And he's like, no, guy, actually, this is from 19 whatever.
Yeah, no, go for it.
But
yeah,
it's a story.
Random facts.
So it just means teasing, whatever the phrase, that what it means. There are two, there's two theories, because they don't know exactly.
Okay. And a lot of these have those.
It's a lot of theories, because nobody really knows. A lot of these were more like people try to do, they try to find the earliest in a book, like the earliest written
usage
of it. So it couldn't be earlier, whatever. So there are two popular theories about how the phrase came about, neither of which is backed up by any real evidence, nor are they plausible. First is that the thieves used to pull on people's legs to trip them. Once the victim was on the ground, the thieves would have ample opportunity to rob them.
Mm-hmm.
While in an interesting story, the plausibility is low and the details of the origin change too much to be taken seriously.
Okay.
Some people say that it happened in the vague medieval markets of the Vogue?
No, you're right. It's vague.
Vague. Happened in the vague medieval markets or Victorian London, which others give an exact date, say 1882, with confidence.
I'm still listening. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, the lack of any documented evidence of the origin theory makes nothing to do with the fanciful guess. So it's more like nobody knows. It's more has to do with these. So actually, it comes from probably somebody.
I'm still laughing about what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it just sounds weird because it says vague, but then they say
medieval.
What the fuck's a vague medieval markets?
It happened to me.
It's kind of like they're not. Like, I don't know. That's what fucked threw me off.
Okay.
Stupid British. It's all British. All this stuff comes
going,
from the British.
Going back to movies. You still have me chuckling over here, dude. Going back to movies. This is one of the ones that got us the brainstorming in general of let's break something like this down. Mm-hmm. And you're going to like it. It's a cheesy one. It's the softball one. I should have started off with that one. But this was the brainchild. This was the seed for that. Is you and I were talking about, again, we're in our mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Victoria's 21. And we had asked her, we were started talking about, we leave so much stuff on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
And I look at her like, you know what the cutting room floor is, right?
Yeah.
She's like, I have no idea what it is. So honestly, cutting room floor. What's your idea?
Yeah. Cutting
room floor. And it's movies. It deals with movies.
Yeah.
So back in the day, film, legit film, everything's more digital now, but you really had to cut film and splice film together.
Yeah.
So every scene that got cut out, anything that got cut out of a movie, literally got scissors and got cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
Hence the whole cutting room floor. That's the brainchild for this show right now. So yeah, that was a softball one. But plain and simple, movies. Like that's what spawned it.
Stupid one doesn't make any sense anymore. Like that's stupid.
And honestly, it doesn't make sense because she didn't know what it was, and it's digital. But everyone knows, living in a digital world.
Yeah, but everyone knows in Hollywood knows what it means because they grew up. Because maybe they grew up,
and people are ages.
They learn digital, but their boss grew up in that, so they explain to them, and he goes, "Well, that's what it means. I don't fucking do any cutting."
And especially if you're the editor.
Or when they tell you, I was cut out of the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, they cut my lines. They didn't necessarily. Yeah, they didn't.
It was unnecessary to the movie, or the runtime was too long. So if we cut your 2-minute dialogue, like we could just cut you out.
Or they cut my lines. Actually, like cut up my script and fucking cut me out of the script.
Yeah, pretty much what it is.
Yeah, so
that's the editing process. Yeah. That's pretty much what the seed was for this particular topic and episode, dude.
Yeah.
So what you got next?
All right, so I got another one that we say a lot, but does anybody really know what where it came from? When you're not feeling well, say to be under the weather.
Yeah, I mean, everyone says it. Everyone
says it. When you call in sick, people can't see my quote, my hand. Quote, when you call in sick.
This guy's an asshole.
After Sunday Night Football?
Hey, I was at work today.
Oh, Tuesday? Anyways. So to be under the weather is, of course, to be unwell. This comes again from a maritime source. In the old days, when a sailor was unwell, he was sent down below to help his recovery, under the deck and away from the weather. Here's also another one that they come up with another idea. Because like I said, these are all theories. Nobody knows for sure what this happened.
The exact root of it.
Yeah.
Or origin,
and also another one they found is that under the weather, to feel ill, originally it meant to feel seasick or to be adversely affected by bad weather. But like a lot of the things we're gonna be talking about, it's more like these are all theories. Because nobody really knows the exact moment where this happened. So these ones are just theories. Another one for under the weather is also, to feel ill. Originally, it meant to feel seasick or to be adversely affected by bad weather. The term is correctly under the weather bow, which is a gloomy prospect. Okay. The weather bow is the side upon which all the rotten weather is blowing. So pretty much more like when you're feeling under the weather, it means like, oh, shit, we got stormy weather. It's freaking crappy weather. I don't feel well.
Okay.
But another theory is that you were under the weather, they would put you
Underneath the deck, below,
just to feel better, you know, to recover. Okay. So,
which is pretty much what you need anyways when you're fucking sick anyways. Like, stay home, get some rest.
Well, I get it, because I've been seasick, so, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay, next one's for me. It's going to be through the eye of a needle.
Okay.
So, I guess in baseball would be...
Thread the needle.
Thread the fucking needle.
Yeah.
Okay. And this one, we talk about in sports. So, I guess in a weird way, yeah, that was your go-to, and that's exactly what I was thinking about, too. And even football, you have to thread the needle sometimes. Like, get that small pocket, that small window. You gotta go for it.
Yeah.
So, through the eye of the needle, meaning to undergo a near impossible process.
Yeah.
So the origin for this one came from Matthew 19, verse 24, Mark 10, verse 25, and Luke 18, verse 25. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven.
Yeah.
So that is the origin, in essence, when it was used as a needle. Like, let's compare the two.
Yeah.
The difficulty of doing something, and we can even break down that
how difficult
that
it is.
Verse is, because the whole whoever dies with the most toys still dies type of deal.
Yeah.
Like, you're still going to die.
That's what you say, may all my toys, was it? If I should die before I wake, may all my toys break.
Exactly.
You make nobody's getting my shit.
So, through the eyes of the needle. That's the one I got, man.
Okay, sports one. I need to find one of my sports ones. Okay, here's another one, which is, it doesn't make any sense, but you understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says, like, Joe, I'm just trying to wrap my head around something.
Okay, let me think about this. Let me put my thoughts on this.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to just get a grasp. Another one. It's funny. We're going to explain idioms in proverbs with other idioms in proverbs. It's like, what does wrap one's head around me? It means to grasp something, you know, get a good grip.
But kind of like, we're deep diving the shit we use. Everyone uses on a day-to-day basis.
But we just use it. Nobody questions it.
Got it.
So this was a weird one. It's come up, but also like, I never saw it when I explained it to me. I'm like, okay, I kind of get it now.
Okay, what is it?
So in the mid-20th century, British English, my bad. This experience appears to have been made first public in an appearance by Jim Croce. Oh. Remember him? I forgot what song he did. But he wrote a song in the 70s. And one...
who is this?
Yeah. But anyways, he's a musician in the 70s. I know you'll... If you listen to his music, you'll know who he is.
Okay.
In one of the lyrics, he wrote, wrap one's head around something,
okay.
which originally turned up in a song.
Okay.
But the songwriter reflects language used that they hear out in the world. So it's something he heard somewhere in the 60s. But that's one of the first times people actually use it in a what do you call it? Common.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. I mean,
just out in the world kind of deal. So the way that somebody explained it, it's more like to wrap one is to try to understand something, but it also means like when you see an animal like a goose or something with like a long neck,
okay.
It's to wrap one's head around it. So trying to figure out to understand something. So essentially, I mean, I have to describe like the comic. So they show a corner of a street.
Okay.
And somebody wants to see around the corner to see what the fuck's going on. Cause somebody turns a corner and goes, hey Joe, Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy. What's his name? Leatherface? Leatherface is fucking coming down the street. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck that. I don't fucking believe you.
Yeah.
And you wrap your head around the corner to try to understand the situation.
Okay.
And grasp the situation. So you look around the corner and you see like, there's nobody fucking coming. You're just pulling my leg, right?
Idiot. I kind of.
But it's more like it was in a physical sense. You were looking around the corner. You're trying to wrap your head around the corner to try to understand the situation. Get a better view of the situation. So it turned into somebody just saying, like, I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to wrap my head. Meaning, like, I'm just trying to understand what the fuck's going on
now. Which is normally level-headed people need to know how to do.
It just says, give me a minute. Yeah. I need to just, like, fucking focus.
Let me process this bullshit.
But it's funny because I'm like, holy shit. And then when I like how they showed me, like, a cartoon. I'm like, holy fuck. I get the fuck Goose is doing. Where the fuck's Maverick? I don't know.
Wait, I know exactly what that is. Okay, this one's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of this one before. Have you ever heard of the phrase up in the duff?
What in the duff?
Up in the duff.
No, I've never heard that one.
Okay, neither have I. And I would totally be up in Hillary Duff.
But I still would.
Essentially, that's pretty would. Much what it is, dude. Well. Meaning is, though, to be pregnant. Straight up, never heard of this. Origin in the clubs, in the club refers to the pudding club.
I thought you were gonna do like, was it in the rap song?
Oh, do you know
the hip hop song? In the club. I'm like, are you gonna quote in the club?
All up in the club. Both duff and pudding are euphemistic expressions for penis and crudely link intercourse and pregnancy.
Makes sense. You got pudding up there? Well, yeah. Like where I'm putting it?
It's up in the duff.
Kind pudding
of
though, duff.
But muff is kind of a slang term. So,
well, this is all British, right?
That one is.
Fucking British people.
And one on top of that, just to piggyback, is...
piggyback?
Piggyback? Like, how about this one? Do the curtains match the drapes?
Oh my God, this one, I can't because I'm a father. I have a daughter. A lot of them I can't say anymore. But yeah. What did you say? Oh, yeah, I know that.
Do the curtains match the drapes? Everyone knows it, right?
Yeah.
We're assuming.
Right. Oh, and then you're like, they sure do not match.
I went to an odd one on that one, but
that's
go
a good
ahead.
One. But like, what the fuck does that mean? I get that one.
What you got?
And it's funny because I kept telling this one to Victoria. And she's like, what the fuck? Oh, we're fucking around with this one. A girl. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Ooh, interesting.
So it means pretty much value. Mm-hmm. What's in your hand value more than what you don't have in a way. Like better. So that's what it means. Mm. And I always thought it meant something else. Like, fuck, you already got a bird in the hand. Why the fuck do you want to get two more? Go for the sure shot. Which is what it means, but that's what I thought it meant. Anyways. Yeah. So there's many... plethora of hands. So the actual origin goes back to... actually, what can do with fucking falcons? The proverb refers to the medieval falconry, where a bird in the hand, the falcon, was a more valuable asset and certainly worth more than two in the bush, the prey. Meaning, like, don't risk your fucking falcon to try to get two stupid birds. True. Your falcon's worth more. It's like...
And honestly, it was a form of communication, too.
Yeah. But like, since,
and they would kill pigeons. I mean, carrier pigeons.
Because they fucking, pigeons, but they're like, so, yeah, fuck, hands, this falcon, how much you train it? I fucking bought this leather glove, to fucking catch my falcon
in a cool little
hat that he wears, the leather hat, so he doesn't fucking see shit. You know, I spent all this money on it. I'm not going to fucking have him get caught up in the bush.
True that, dude.
Nothing worse than getting hurt in the bush.
So that literally is what it is.
It's more like just value. Whatever you have in hand is more valuable than...
Okay, makes
but
sense.
But also, here's the thing here. The first citation of the expression is print. In print, it is currently used, and the way it's currently used and found was written in the Handbook of Proverbs in 1670. But it also lists different variations because not everyone has fucking falcons.
True.
Or pigeons, whatever. Another one. Also, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That's the one we just said. Fuck. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Which pretty much means the same thing. Don't fucking risk your dope dog on a stupid lion.
True.
Which happens to me every day. Fucking if I had a day, $1 for every time somebody told me that. Fucking don't risk your dog on a lion. Next one.
Had $1 for every time is an idiom.
Okay. This is a thing, a pretty British one. A bird in the hand is worth 10 fly at large. Which pretty much same shit. Like fucking,
which is, the bush of those trees. Yeah, if you're looking at it in the bigger aspect of things. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know what the fuck this means. Better one bird in hand than 10 in the wood? Fucking British people.
10 in the wood? The wood meaning coffin, maybe?
I don't fucking know. No, but the point is the whole... Don't risk something that's not worth... You know, don't risk more than you're going to be rewarded in. Okay. Kind of shit like that.
True. All right, man. We're going long, so let's take our time a little bit more. Okay. I'm going to probably toss out one more. You started or did I start it?
I just did this one, so go one more. You do that
okay,
one?
My last one is going to have to be mad as a hatter.
Oh, I've heard this one before.
Okay, what the fuck does it mean?
Okay.
Your thoughts, I'll give you...
Well, this is what I heard. I heard that back in the fucking olden times, hatters were using mercury or some shit like that in their process, And they would usually be fucking nuts because they were getting that shit toxins in their blood and they would fucking go nuts. Basically that's what I understand. Or fucking Alice in Wonderland.
And I forget the writer off the top of my head of Alice in Wonderland, but that is essentially, it's a trippy ass movie. Like it's a drug fucking movie, drug riddled movie.
And the Mad Hatter is somebody who's fucking who's how do you call it?
Mercury poison.
Mercury's fucking nuts because he's physically nuts.
You are a fucking stud, my man.
Is that another one?
Hatter, meaning to be completely insane. Origin in the 18th and 19th century, mercury was used in felting and hat making. Okay. The madness of hat makers was a result of mercury poison.
Fuck. But here's the thing, though. Have you noticed how much, because when you brought up mercury, mm-hmm. how much shit, we got to have to do one based on how much shit we put in our bodies, and now we know how fucked up it did. None of the drugs, but stuff that was told that was safe for us that we used every day of our lives.
Lead poisoning.
Okay, the fucking paint, the asbestos, we used to fucking line buildings with.
Dude, we used to drink water from the water hose.
Yeah, we were prescribed. Well, this is me. I mean, this is like 100 years ago. We were prescribed cocaine. But all this shit like was unsafe, but people were like, that's fine.
That's pretty much what it is. Everyone kind of just wrote it off, top of the
deal. And then mercury was like, it's good for what we need it for, but you didn't think to start to think like, fuck,
we're
this shit.
Both Hispanic. We've been to Mexico. Candy.
Oh, the
lead.
Lead.
Straight up lead.
It tastes better.
were alive.
So what if do I really need those extra brain cells? They're not doing me any good.
Okay.
Drinking was going to ruin them anyway.
I like how it was a study when we were adults. It's like, oh, shit, so we shouldn't have been eating all that.
Well, fine. I'm more at this point.
At this point, yeah. But, I mean, it kind of made us stronger, too. Like,
I'm still here.
I'm still here. I'll take that.
My wit's here for the most
part. Our parents are still here. All right. Do we want to put that on hold for now? Do you want to put a pin in that one?
Let me see if I have any clues.
Go one more. And just deep dive one that you think is a good one.
Yeah, I have enough
for I'll buy you some time. But again, guys, this is just an odd one that is a complete throwaway episode where it's like, we got so much done and we collaborate. And this one's like, RJ, like, this one's going in so many different directions where these are things we all talk about as people, as a society. And let's break this down a little bit more and let's deep dive these. So, again, throwaway episode happens to be turning into a two-parter.
Yeah.
Right now. So I'm going to toss this one out in a month. By the time you guys hear it, it's going to be your guys'
Happy Thanksgiving. Have a nice Thanksgiving dinner while listening
to Happy Thanksgiving. But definitely please share one more with us.
Okay, I found another one, which is, in baseball terms, more relatable.
Joe, dude, definitely do it.
Have you ever heard when it's during the time of the year where the playoffs are still 2 months away, the All-Star breaks over.
For October?
No. Okay. I mean, it's called like, the fucking dog days of summer.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Which
okay.
pretty much means... It's like the part of the season which is the most grueling because there's nothing. Like, you still got like fucking 2 more months of grueling baseball. Yeah. You got shit to do. It's pretty much just like boring because there's really, you still got time before the fucking playoffs. You're just playing out the season.
And technically, the equinox is to have sunlight because the time change just hasn't happened yet. So, you want to get more shit done during the
day. And it's funny because dog days of summer, a lot of people may think, because it's hot and the dog's laying around. No, it's fucking doesn't. Well, I guess it kind of does have something to do with
it. No, go for it, man. Deep dive it. What you got?
Okay. The ancient Romans called the ancient Romans called the hottest, most humid days of summer Dies Caniculares or dog days.
Okay.
The name came from, the name came about because they associated the hottest days of summer with the star Sirius. Sirius was known as the dog star. Because it is the brightest star in the constellation Canis Majora?
Okay, heard of that.
Large dog. Sirius also happens to be the brightest star in the sky.
I didn't know it was Sirius, though.
I didn't know it was this Sirius, exactly. It is Sirius.
Surely you can't be Sirius.
I am Sirius. Stop calling me Shirley. Sirius is also is so bright that the ancient Romans thought it radiated extra heat toward the earth during the summer. Okay, so during the summer when Sirius rises and sets with the sun, they thought Sirius added the heat to the sun's heat to cause hotter summer temperatures.
Okay, so double the fucking heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
For ancient Romans, the dog days of summer occurred from about July 24th, which is a little bit after this All-Star break in baseball.
Interesting. Okay.
To August 24th, which is kind of toward the when it starts thinking more about the playoffs.
And I'm talking about baseball. October, I'm a baseball fan, right? Hunt for October,
yeah. Over the time, though, the constellations have drifted somewhat. Today, the old farmers' almanacs list the traditional timing of the dog days of summer from being July 3rd to August 11th, which is still within like the baseball terms. So that's really what it means. So it's funny, and we know in it's more used in sports in baseball.
Interesting,
but it's actually something from Roman mythology.
That's interesting.
And also, that's what we're thinking of, too. We're talking about it, like how much of Roman mythology is in our day-to-day life. So we're hoping to get that one done, too.
Yes, yes.
And it's another thing. We still do a lot of the stuff we brought from Roman. Like, it was kind of passed along through Roman.
Structures, plumbing.
We're using Roman tools. Mythology to explain baseball and talk about baseball.
You know? Yeah, so.
And that's when that's funny because maybe I didn't even know what the fuck it meant because I was even gonna think like I had to know I just always said it.
You brought up a good fucking point that okay I heard of the Majora
canine Majora.
I heard that before, but never knew it was. I mean, canine for sure, but like I never put it together. And you mentioned something
and it's Sirius.
Sirius Radio.
And they used to, and it was always a dog on their logo, and that's why the logo of Sirius Radio is a dog because the dog name is Sirius.
Okay.
Or dog is named Sirius.
Okay, I'm down with that. Okay.
So now you know when you see Sirius, you know it's the dog.
Dope, dude. Okay. This is gonna be part one of our two parter that we've never tried to pull off before, but fuck it, we're gonna kill one more.
Yeah, because it's really. Yeah, we sure we'll do one more because we have a lot of cool stuff.
Let's end this show and we'll start the next one. All right, guys. Find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. You can find my boy RG.
At RG Flores on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. You can find us on Twitter with the Deep Dives R.
Yep.
And also find us. You can also email us at Deep Dives and
forget.
And email. You can email us, you know, to get us directly at email us Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. @gmail.com.
No shit. I got to email those.
Yeah, I know, right? These assholes. Cool.
All
right,
guys. Thanks for listening. This is part one again. I don't know when I'm going to release these, but...
Yeah. And whenever you get to, like I said, we want to hear everybody's too. If you guys have any cool stories based on proverbs or ideologies, let us know. Because, you know...
Tell us different stories you guys might have heard of from the origins of any of these cheesy ones. And let us know things you...
Yeah.
Do you find you're sensing a vibe from like East Coasters more so? Or do you find more
West
Coasters? Like, and the slang we use compared to.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that yet?
Yeah.
Because for the Comic Syndicate, I know like we got all listeners all over the place. Mm-hmm. And the slang and the accents are a fucking thing. And the twangs.
It's a good joke slang. Around. We don't y'alls.
Yeah, yeah.
But we know people y'all.
Yeah. And. I mean, it would have to be also region on where they're at, like slang terms and sayings.
Because then even East Coast, it's like Northeast, South.
Southern, yeah.
Central. Everyone has their own. Like, I know when people, how they have certain ideas of Californians.
We're all assholes.
And it's funny, because have you ever seen the SNL one?
The Californians? Yes, they think we're all...
But a lot of the shit's like, fuck, a lot of the shit we do say. Like, the whole freeways.
The freeways, it's definitely for sure.
And we explained that one where it was...
But that one is legit.
Like, but, okay, we say, like, the 405, the 55, the 22. Well, we're saying the freeways. Yeah,
different routes.
But they explain it. So, explain it quick. Because we always say that. But that one is more based on, and it's still, they're named this way, but it's kind of drifted away a little bit. Back in the day, they didn't have numbers. It was more like the San Diego Freeway.
Yes.
The what is the fucking, they have different ones. Like, oh, the Long Beach Freeway or the Santa Monica Freeway.
Yeah.
So we were raised in the Southern California, landscape. Yeah, landscape. So we were all based on your destinations. Mm-hmm. So we grew up with the. So when they started switching more to like numbers.
Interstate highways.
Yeah, we didn't ever say fucking interstate or highway.
And we don't really have byways. We just have highways and.
No. Freeways. So it's just all thus. Mm-hmm. So that's why we stuck to the 405. So when people will bring that up about Californians, that's the reason we say it that way, is because we grew up or our parents grew up with freeways called the. So when we heard them telling us directions, that's how we grew up listening to directions.
Pretty much. All right, guys, thanks again for listening. If you guys have any more to add, definitely hit us up. Again, don't know how I'm going to break down dropping this two-parter, but this one, we went 33 minutes already. Yeah. Next episode is going
probably
to
about
be
the same.
The finishing episode is going to be about the same. Yeah. All right, guys. So continue to listen. We'll be right back with part two in about a week from this one.
All right, guys. See you next week. Okay, all right, listen. Peace out.